Okay, let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one underneath the seat in front of you, and so you can just open that one up to page 61. That should be Exodus 20. And what we're doing is we're working our way through the whole book, and if you're visiting with us today, you have caught us in the middle of what we call the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments, and we're looking today at the fifth commandment, found in verse 12. The fifth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 12. It says this: honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is God's word for us today. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask again, as we do every time we open up your scripture, that you would open up our minds, that we would better understand and receive and believe the things that are revealed in your word. Lord, we do not want to be a people who are merely informed. We want to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. And so help us to see where there is sin in our lives, that we might repent of it and walk away, and draw us close to Jesus, that we might find in him hope in everything. For his glory, in his name we pray. Amen. One of the common and constant injustices that I suffered as a little kid was when somebody would cut in line. It really annoyed me. If at the water bubbler, in line for bathroom, somebody would always cut, and you'd try to play it off like, no cuts, you see him coming, no cuts. But I'm smaller than Frodo, so they'd be like, whatever. They just cut in front of me, and I'd be like, dang it, it's nothing I can do. And so it's like, still, now I have this like little man syndrome, and it's still with me because I'm at the movies and I'm waiting in line forever to get into the movies, and then like there's like one teenager in front of me and five more teens will come and be like, hey, thanks for saving our spot. And I want to yell out, cut, you can't cut. And like, I'm a grown-up now, but I'm the same size as I was in third grade, so it doesn't make a difference. I can't really enforce anything. So I just like, oh man. And then you're driving in traffic, right? And you've already merged because you're responsible adults. You don't want to be a jerk. You don't want to be that guy who speeds past everybody on the shoulder and then tries to cut in at the very end. So the reason we do that, and let's be honest, you all do that. Like I do it too. Like we'll cut, or we make these efforts like this, whether it's cutting, right? Or whether it's trying to be first. We make those decisions and we have that perspective because on some level, we really believe that what's most important is that I am honored first. That's what we want. That's what you want. We all want to be honored first. We seek our honor, we seek our exaltation before we seek another's. We want honor much more than we want to give it. And this is backwards. It's backwards from the way it's supposed to be. It's backwards from a Christian understanding of honor. And here's what I want us to see as we're looking at the fifth commandment. I want us to see that a life of honor is only found in a life of submission. Okay, so as we're looking at the law of God, it's going to lead us to the gospel of God, okay? We've been saying this again and again, right? That if the law of God does not lead us to the Son of God, all we are left with is the wrath of God. Because we all break this law, just as we break them all. And so I want us to see that a life of honor is ultimately found in a life of submission, and this will also be true as we look at the gospel. So we're at the fifth commandment, and as we've already said, the commandments kind of fall into two basic tables, right? You have the first four, and they are very vertical. It's between us and God. You shall have no other gods before me. Don't make any images and bow down to them. Don't take my name in vain, and keep the Sabbath holy. Have a day of rest, right? Very much vertical. And then the second table is much more horizontal. It has to do with how we relate to each other, right? And the first one in our relationships to each other, the very first commandment, the one that maybe you could consider to be most important because it comes first, is not don't murder people. That's weird, right? I feel like that's weird. I feel like the first thing I would be like is don't kill people and then honor your mother and your father, right? I just feel like that feels weightier to me, but I would be wrong. We don't know exactly why God put it here instead of the other, though there does seem to be a kind of hierarchy among these laws. But this much we can be sure of. If we do not learn to honor those in authority, we will be lost. If we do not learn to honor mother and father, we will not be inclined to honor the authorities over us in the government, in our employment, nor will we be willing to honor God. We must learn to honor authority, and that's really what this commandment is speaking at, honoring authority. Now, what's this idea of honor? Like, honor your mother and your father. And everybody brings kind of their own ideas to this word, but let's just take a step back and have a very simple perspective of this word honor. You could say it essentially means to respect the position and to act accordingly. Okay, you respect the person in that position because God has placed them there, and then you respond to that position accordingly. And this doesn't just go for mother and father. And by the way, moms and dads, don't tune out, right? Oh, I don't have to worry about this. It's all about you in more ways than one, so stay plugged in to our text this morning. It's not just talking about honoring mother and father. In fact, if you go back throughout history and you look at all of the commentaries, the ancient commentaries, the best Christian minds throughout history, they all say the same thing in unison. This command not only is directing us to honor mother and father, but to honor all in authority and those who are aged. Right? That we are to honor those who are in some way exalted above us because of their position. And this is true for our government authorities, the president, congressmen, teachers, leaders, employers, and yes, just even people. I know it's countercultural. I know it's not what we do here in America, but even simply those who are our seniors. We are called to honor them and to respect them. In fact, one of the great passages here that highlights this, at least in one way, is in Romans chapter 13. Listen to verse 1. Just listen. It says in verse 1 of chapter 13, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." Now, this is said by a Christian leader who is experiencing persecution both by the religious establishment and the government. And so what he's not saying is that you must always obey those who are in authority over you, certainly not when they are commanding you to do evil or forbidding you to do what is good. In this case, we have to choose, I will obey a God over the one who has authority and is abusing their position that God has given them. But outside of this direct command to do evil or this forbiddenness to do what is right, we are to honor those who are in authority over us and to not be slack about it at all. Now, this promise is given, this command is given with a promise, right? Do this that it may go well with you in the land that I'm going to give you. So God is telling Israel, and it's a reaffirmation of this Mosaic covenant, right? If you obey me, when you obey me, I'm going to bless you and take care of you. When you disobey me and worship false gods, I will bring judgment upon you. And so as you obey your mother and father, this is very important to me, this pleases me. As you do that, it's going to go well for you in the land. But the principle extends beyond Israel because we know it to be proverbially true, right? That those who learn to honor their parents, those who learn to honor authority generally have an easier time, generally, proverbially, right? They have an easier time and a longer life in the land because they aren't robbing and stealing and seeking to gain things illegally or immorally. So we are called by God in the fifth commandment to respect, to honor those who have authority over us. And there are three basic ways in which we keep this commandment, right? Three basic ways in which we keep the fifth commandment. And this could apply, these three principles could apply to all forms of leadership over us. But we're going to specifically apply it to our parents. Three ways we keep this command: respect, obedience, and advocacy. Okay? Respect, obedience, and advocacy. First of all, to honor your parents or to honor anyone in authority, what you say to them, how you speak to them, and how you speak of them reveals the level to which you honor them. Respect determines both your gestures toward them as well as what you say. So there is care with which we use words when addressing our superiors, especially our parents. We use words not only that they will understand, but that they will approve of. We don't unnecessarily provoke them or frustrate them with the way that we talk to them. To do so is to break this commandment and to bring displeasure to God. Now, we respect our parents, those in leadership, in the way that we speak to them or of them. I can remember being among my friends and when we were teenagers, right? And so one of the things that you do, like there are five things that we talk about. One of them is how awful our parents are. Like, oh, they're so bad, right? They're so terrible. And genuinely, and I really mean this, I could never relate. I just didn't. I had parents that were really kind and very encouraging. So I was like, whew, it stinks to be you. Yeah, that's bad news. I got nothing. I don't have any complaints, really. My dad for a while wouldn't let me wear too many black t-shirts. I don't know what that was all about. Too many black t-shirts. I'm like, but it's just a t-shirt. He's like, no, wear a blue one. And I'm like, oh man. No. But I didn't honor him because I'd get on the bus and pop off that blue one and reach into my bag and pull out the black Megadeth t-shirt and I'd put it on. So I dishonored my father. Right? By doing that. Sorry, Dad. Sorry about that. You know what's funny, though, is years later, I became a Christian, and I just threw out all my rock and roll t-shirts, not because Jesus wanted me to. I just thought I should. So I threw out all these rock and roll t-shirts, but my dad actually dug them all out of the garbage and folded them and put them in a trunk for me, and he gave them back to me, like, I don't know, 4 years ago or something. So I wear them when I'm mowing the lawn. So if you see me, wearing that. Right? How we speak to our parents, how we speak of them, respect is one of the ways we keep this command. The second way that we keep this command is by obedience. We are called to obey those who have authority over us, especially our parents. We are fools not to. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants around your neck." You know what makes you look beautiful? You know what makes you look good? You know what establishes good character? Is when you obey your parents. Right? This is wise. This is how we honor them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul says something here that God delights in this, right? Verse 20 of Colossians 3. "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." It pleases God. He delights in it when children are responsive to their parents. Respect. Obedience. Now, some people are like, okay, hang on a second. How am I supposed to, some of you guys are, most of you are out of the house. You know, you're not under their authority anymore. Are you supposed to obey your parents? Well, there are some people that would argue that you still are supposed to obey them in the same way until you're married. I think that's what we would call weird. You still are called to honor them. You are still called to respect them. And you should still listen to them. But you are no longer under their authority, under their roof. And so you are accountable for your own actions, of course. And you must sometimes go your own way. But you are still called to honor them. And yes, just another qualification, you are to obey your parents in everything, Paul says, but obviously if your parents are calling you to do what is evil, they are commanding you or forbidding you to do what is wrong, what is sin, then you don't do that. You disobey them in that case and seek to obey the Lord. But then there's a third way in which we honor mother and father, and that is through advocacy, meaning that we are about their cause, their good, their prosperity, their life. We are for them. And it means that we will watch out for them. It means that we will care for them in the same way that they cared for us. And this troubles me, because we live in a culture that does not respect those who are aging, right? I mean, the only thing we care about kids is that they spend money. Otherwise, if you're a youth, you're useless to the culture. That's what they think. You have nothing to offer except your money, so you mean nothing to them. And then as soon as you get past childbearing years and you're edging towards retirement, boom, again, the only thing you're good for to our culture is money. That's it. And what has happened is in the culture at large, even just people who aren't selling find very little use for those who are aging. We don't want to listen to them. I have two friends. They're gentlemen in their 70s. I meet them at the coffee shop sometimes, super smart. Like, they're atheists, so they're not that smart. But they're super smart. I'm just teasing. I would make that joke to them. They are way smarter than I will ever be. Genuine. They're wicked smart guys. They read like quantum theory for kicks, like weird stuff, right? So here's what they'll say. They'll say this, and they mean it. You know, we could solve all of these problems in the government if people would just listen to us, but nobody listens to us. Now, here's what's true. They could not solve all of the problems in the government, but they're right that nobody will listen to them. And they're very keen. I mean, they have a very clear understanding that their opinion, their insights are no longer valued because they're old. And so what do? We give up, you know? What happens? Like, old people become dependent at some point and they require need. I was reading Thomas Watson. He's one of my favorite Puritans. I came across something this week that I don't ever remember reading it from him before. And he addresses this issue about how it is the responsibility of children to advocate for their parents. And here's what he says. Honor is to be shown to parents in relieving their needs. So let me quote. He says, Joseph nourished his father in his old age, Genesis 47. It is but paying a debt. Parents brought up children when they were young, and children ought to nourish their parents when they are old. The young storks, by an instinct of nature, they bring food to the old ones when, by reason of age, they are not able to fly. Pliny calls it a law of the storks. Such children, or monsters, shall I say, are to blame who are ashamed of their parents when they are old and fallen into decay. And when they ask for bread, give them a stone. When houses are shut up, we say, there's a plague there. When children's hearts are shut up against their parents, there is the plague there. Our blessed Savior took great care of his mother. When on the cross even, he charged his disciple John to take her home to him as his mother and to see that she lacked nothing. You honor your parents. You respect them. You listen to them. You speak to them well. You speak of them well. You obey them wherever appropriate. And you advocate for them. This is the command of God. Now, let me say this, that some of you were not fortunate to have parents who loved you. Parents who tell you that you love you, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know the difference. Some of you were raised by ungodly and wicked parents who neglected you or abused you. And I'm so sorry. And while you are called to honor authority, you may not be able to advocate for your parents because they have hurt you and are such a risk to you that you have to separate and even let Christ himself bring a sword between you and your parents for your own good, sometimes family can be so toxic that it will poison you, and you need to get away. And to you, I would encourage you to dive deep into the family of God, where you have brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers who will love you and care for you. But for most of you who are fortunate to have parents who actually cared, who actually invested, this is the calling to honor them with respect, obedience, and advocacy. Now, here's the truth. None of you keep that law. I don't keep that law, right? Like, even if you think, like, I'm pretty good about keeping this commandment. I don't speak ill of my parents. You definitely break it with somebody else, right? There is some authority figure that you do not respect, that you do not honor. There are times when you will put yourself first instead of putting yourself second. In fact, there are really three basic ways in which we break this commandment. Number one is we refuse to recognize our own position. Like, when you refuse to recognize that I am not number one, when you refuse to recognize that there are people who are exalted above me by virtue of their position and status, when you refuse to recognize that, you are breaking this commandment. We break this commandment when we refuse to submit ourselves to others, particularly those who have authority over us. We're called to submit, but not even just to authority, but to one another. Throughout Scripture, we're called to submit to one another, to have a deferential posture. You see, we're breaking this commandment, thirdly, ultimately, when we exalt ourselves above others. Like, that's the bottom line. You break this commandment when you exalt yourself, when you say, I am first, I'm going to cut, right? I'm going to cut in front of the line. I'm going to put myself before God, before Jesus, and no, you won't say it that way. You won't be like, man, I'm going to totally blow off God today. You just won't take his law very seriously. You won't take his words and read them and hear them very carefully. You see, what's underneath all of these ways in which we break God's laws, what's underneath it all is pride. It's pride. It's this me-first, self-centered understanding that everything should resolve around me. And the danger here, the danger is significant. You think it's no big deal. You think, like, I think, like, oh, honor father and mother. What's a big deal? What's going to happen? Ooh, what are they going to do? I'm 41 now. What's up? What are you going to do? Right? Like, that's kind of like the attitude they have. Like, ooh. Because we think, like, well, what's the recourse? What's the big deal? Here's the big deal. When you can cast off authority, right, of mom and dad, when you can cast off authority with them, you can cast it off in the world as well. And when you begin to cast off authority in the world, you will cast off the authority of God. And we have all done this. You know, when you look at this command, when you look at any of the commands of God, you should, in a sense, be brought to a place of hopelessness. I've completely blown this law. I have not kept it. I have done what is wrong. And I can have plans, I can have strategies, but you know what? As organized and as intentional as I might be able to get with keeping this law, I know that very quickly I will put myself first and my heart won't be in it at all. And there, the law is broken again. Because a part of honoring our parents is love. So what is our hope in this command? There is no hope in this command, but there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope in Jesus Christ who perfectly kept this law. He fulfilled it. And this is what we say again and again, right? That Jesus kept all of God's laws so that he could give us his righteousness. He gives us his perfect law keeping. He gives it to those of us who don't keep it. We are lawbreakers. And he gives us his righteousness so that we are made acceptable before God. We appear holy before him. This is our hope. Jesus was submissive to his earthly parents. In Luke 2:51, right? He goes through this thing where he disappears, right? He's in the temple and his parents are freaking out, like, where did he go? What happened? And then they find him in the temple. And listen to what it says about Jesus, right? They get him back and when he went down with his parents and they came to Nazareth, he was submissive to them. The Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, God incarnate, was submissive to his parents. I know you think you're entitled, young person, right? You think like, man, I've got it coming. Look at me. I'm awesome. Like I should get stuff, right? Jesus is the creator and owner and sustainer of everything that is, and he submitted himself to imperfect, sinful parents. Jesus does and did what we don't. He cared for his mom, right? He cared for his mom in John 19, right? We just read about that. He's on the cross. He is dying, right? He is in the middle. You think you're too busy, right? Like, mom, I'm too busy. Playing Xbox. Go away, right? Like, your mother and father, they intrude on you. Or they're calling. You see the caller ID. Oh, I'm in the middle of something that's really important. It's never important. You are not that important. So knock it off. But you see your parents call, right? Because I do it too. You see your parents call, and you're like, oh, no, no interruptions. Listen, Jesus is accomplishing the redemption of sinful man. And he looks out, and he sees his mom, and he makes sure that she is taken care of. He says, John, this is now your mom. Mom, this is now your son. You guys are going to be a family. Take care of each other. Not too busy. See, everywhere we fail, Jesus kept the law, and that's the gift we get in the gospel, his law keeping. And Jesus, listen, here's why it's important. You see, Jesus, in doing this, wasn't just keeping the law in relationship to his parents, but he was honoring God, his Father, as well, all along the way. He was the advocate of his Father. Right? Jesus says, I am about my Father's business. What do you think I'm going to be doing? Like, I'm doing what he has set me here to do. He's called me to do this, and that's what I'm about. I'm going to build the kingdom of God. I'm going to accomplish the redemption of people. He respected his Father in heaven. He obeyed his Father in heaven. He had love for his Father in heaven. In Matthew 26, right? Jesus is praying in the garden. He's about to be betrayed. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be hung on a cross and not just suffer excruciating physical pain, but he will experience the divine wrath of God the Father against my sin. So he's rightly scared. And he says, God, if it's possible, let this cup of wrath pass. I don't want to drink it. It's going to be hard. But here's what he says. For the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. You see that submission? Submission to the will of his Father in heaven that he didn't fully understand, that he was afraid of, that was going to hurt him more than you can begin to imagine. And there he submitted. In John chapter 6, in verse 38, Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Submission, honor, obedience. But what is it that he came down to do? This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. And if you're like the people that were listening to Jesus at the time, you're like, huh? Well, I don't understand what you mean. So he repeats it again for dummies like me. He says this, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's the will of God that Jesus came to fulfill. He died on the cross to make salvation free for all who will believe. And he says, if you believe in me, you are cleansed, you are secure, and I will raise you up on the last day, and you will dwell with me and the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. This is our gospel hope, that Jesus was faithful to fulfill the will of God, the law of God on our behalf. And then, after we trust in Christ and we receive the benefits of his law keeping, we learn how to walk in God's ways from seeing Jesus. You see, then we become the advocates for God's kingdom and God's glory. We become the people who want to proclaim his excellencies, to speak well of him, to sing his praises, right? We want to sing his praises both literally and metaphorically. We want to tell other people about him. We are about his business, right? Christians should be again and again saying, what? What'd you think? I'm about my Father's business. That's what I'm doing here. All of this to say, the law of God here does command us to honor our father and our mother. Parents, you're not so easy to honor sometimes. I know because I'm a parent of four. You want to teach your children to honor you because you want them to learn to honor authority, right? God established authority because you ultimately want them to put their knees in the dirt and submit to Jesus as Lord, right? All right, so if you're going to teach your children to honor you, to learn honor and submission to authority, then certain things need to be true of you. I'll give you four. Certain things need to be true of me as a dad, of my wife as a mother. We're going to teach our children to submit lovingly, like to submit to our authority and honor us. The first is love. You must love your children. Now, that doesn't mean that you say that you love them, okay? Now, some of you dads need to say it more often, but more importantly, you need to have warm affection for your kids, okay? Hug them, hold them, kiss them. And I know, your dad didn't kiss you. Well, bad on him. You're not him. Hug your kids. Goodness sakes. Embrace them. You have the opportunity to connect with that child in ways that nobody else can. If he's going to learn that God the Father is a loving Father, a tender Father who seeks the good of his children, then you are going to be the one to show it to him through warm affection. And they will honor you. I can remember when I was in high school, some of you knew me back then, right? So I wasn't a Christian, and I wore my dad's favorite t-shirts all the time. But we would go to the movies, I'd go to the movies with my mom and dad, right? And I had like a big pentagram on my t-shirt and the long hair and the earrings and everything. So I'd be walking with my folks, and then on the other side of the mall, you could see this wall of black and chains like coming down. And those were my homies, right? I knew like, oh, they're my boys. And so, but I was never embarrassed. I never was like, see you, Mom and Dad, I'm out. Like, I don't want them to see. I never felt that way because I knew. I mean, I had a lot of questions growing up. The one thing I never questioned was, do my mom and dad love me? And so the guys would show up like, what's up? It's my folks, Mom and Dad. Gonna go see a movie later. Like, we would just, like, that was no, and I can tell you this, even as a non-Christian kid, very confused, very rebellious in many ways, very foolish in many ways, it was the love of my parents that grounded me very close to them. Love your children if you want them to honor you. Number two, provide for them, right? Provide. Now, I know some of you are really good at that. You go to work, you get it done. Awesome. I'm glad that you do that. But providing for them doesn't just mean providing for them monetarily. You must provide them what they need in this life, right? You must provide them with wisdom, counsel. Like you need, in fact, like the last two things that we're going to talk about here, right, kind of fold right into this idea of provision. And here's the thing to keep in mind when you're thinking provision. Think generous. You know how generous your Father in heaven is to you? Do you take time to think about that? I think you do. I know a lot of you because I hear you always go, holy smokes, am I blessed? Like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that God has given me so much stuff. That's how generous your God is. Stop being stingy with your kids. No, they don't need iPhones. Your kids don't need iPhones, okay? They don't need like all kinds of crazy. But you should have a heart that wants to give them, that wants to bless them. So provide for them, number two. Number three. If you want your kids to honor you, then you had better be present. Not just available, not just around. I knew a dad who was essentially really loathed by his children because whenever he was home, he was there, but he wasn't there. He was just there on the couch watching football. And his kids were going, what's up, what's up, what's up? And I mean, I saw it, like nothing. There was like a wall, cone of silence. He couldn't hear anything outside of the TV. And they even expressed to me, like, I'm so angry. I'm so frustrated. Like, if he's home, he's never home. And when he's home, he just tunes us out. You've got to be present, right? You've got to be there in the midst with them, holding their hand, taking an interest in their interests, knowing them, their friends, their activities. You've got to be present with them. Isn't God always with you? Kids need us to be there. One of the best rebukes I received from my best friend, Steve, complaining about how I had to play with my kids one day. And I was like, oh, I got to play this game. I just hate this game. It's so lame. So boring. I just hate it. It hurts my knees. And he's like, you better get yourself checked, man. Like, you need to play what your kids want to play. It's their game. It's not your game. You should be present. Like, oh, geez, that's actually a good idea. And then fourthly, if you want your kids to honor you, you will have to discipline them. I promise you, if you do not put proper boundaries around your children and enforce discipline when they disobey, you stand a much greater chance for losing them altogether. There must be discipline, consequences when they disobey. They need to learn, they need to know that when I transgress this law, this boundary that exists for my good, there is great danger. So parents, if you want your children to honor you, then you must love and provide and be present and disciplined. And even this, it's really not about you. You want them to know the Lord. That's what you want. That's our most constant and earnest prayer, that all of our children will know and love Jesus at an early age and protect from the foolish sins of my youth. We want to lead them to Christ. And for us all, what do we have here? What do we have? We're called to honor mother and father, and in that, through that, we're called to honor all in authority, especially God, our Heavenly Father. And how are we encouraged to honor Him? He has loved us. While we were yet sinners, He sent His Son Christ to die for us. He has provided us not only with eternal life and salvation, but every other blessing in this world and in the heavenly realms. We cannot count them all. He is generous towards us, and He is present always with us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, specifically through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God is with us at all times, and oh, you bet He disciplines us. He disciplines me. He will afflict your conscience, or He will bring difficult circumstances into your life when you begin to go off the rails in your faith and obedience, so that you will recognize just how dangerous it is when you drift from God. When you drift from Him, you experience His divine displeasure so that you come back and learn righteousness. So let's look to our Father in heaven. Don't look to the law. You see the law, you look through the law to the Father who gave it to us. We see Him and all that He gives us in Jesus, and we bend our knees in humble faith. We honor God, all authorities, and our parents.